At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Happy New Year's, guys. Here's part two of Vanessa's story. Now, I've never met this man we are discussing, and all opinions are their own, but the situation I feel is one that many women and men, humans, have found themselves in. There is an art to the con, but hurt people do hurt people. Now, I'm not in the business of gossip, but I love Vanessa, and I know she's an incredible person who did not deserve this man's hurt, nor did any of the other women involved. So let's learn a lesson and make sure we understand our worth. Happy New Year. Make 2025 your star moment, friends. You're all stars. I love you, kids. So let's pick up where we left off last week with Vanessa. And I know she's going to shine after this, like she always has.
And the next day I got, I should say this too. When he left, he had still owed me the money for the flight, the money for the suit. And like he had bought us both iPhones, but they were on my plan and he was just paying me for them every month. So he'd owed me like, I'd say about $2,500 at that point. And so the next day I got an email saying Manny had sold, he had an electric bike before he left, and he had sold it to one of the guys he worked with. And he's like, oh, Manny owes me $750 for the bike. Get that off him. Let me know what else I owe you. Peace and ease, John. And then he blocked me from everything. He blocked me from Facebook. He blocked me from Instagram. I'm assuming he blocked my email. Like, and I was just like, what the fuck? And I was texting him, like, Johnny, like, what is even happening? Like, this is crazy. Like, we've been together for, at this point, it was like 2.5 years. I've known him for 5 years. Yeah. And so I was like, what the fuck? In the meantime, so I had said after I, when I was FaceTiming him, I was like, well, Talia's going to call her tomorrow, so I'll find out exactly who the fuck she is. And so I guess Talia had called the number and left a message and was just like, hey, this is Talia. And I don't know exactly what she said because I wasn't with her, but I'm assuming she said something. I don't think she brought me up. I think she just said something like, I want to know if you know John Murphy, and I think your life could be in danger, because she wanted her to call back, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't hear anything. And then your sister had said maybe like a week or 10 days later that this other girl had reached out to Talia to leave a message saying like, hey, I want to talk to you about John Murphy. And it was at a day where like your sister was like stranded at the Tennessee airport. It was just like bad timing. And
how recent was this?
So he left the day after Super Bowl, which I think was like February 12th. I found out about the affair.
So like over like a year ago, basically?
Almost. Oh, when this all went down? Yeah, it was February. So almost it'll be a year in February.
Okay, got it.
So so then my mom gets a text. My mom is also on my phone plan and gets a text saying, hey, this is Rebecca, Samantha's friend. I wanted to talk to you about John Murphy. I guess she thought it was my number. So my mom sends me the text message. I make a plan to talk to this girl, Samantha's friend. This is the beginning of March now. So she calls and, as I said, she I'm like, you know, what's, I said, obviously John and Samantha are, have been having like a relationship or an affair or whatever. And she goes, John and Samantha have been in a very serious relationship for 9 months. I was like, you are fucking kidding me. And she was like, yeah, but apparently he left her. He didn't even tell her he was leaving. He just got in a plane. Apparently he called her from the airport and said, I'm going to New York. I have a friend that's in trouble. Who was in an accident or something, and I'm going to New York. And then the next thing he had said to her, I'm in Ireland helping my dad. And then he was in Spain because he actually, his dad didn't need her help. If you listen to the recording I sent you, like, it tells you all this. But for our listeners out there, he had told her, like, it was just got a really sketch story. So she, whatever they, so apparently the friend had said, you know, it kind of seems like she was always kind of suspect of him. She's like, you know, he would come over early in the morning and they would like have coffee together, or like he told Samantha that he couldn't hang out with her on Mondays because it was a mental health day and he wouldn't be on his phone. He just like was like closed off the whole world, and like those are the days we hung out. And so she had said to Samantha, like, it kind of seems like you guys, and she had never met any of his friends. Like he had met all of, we had met hers, but he, and they never went out because he didn't drink. And so the friend was suspect, and she was like, it's kind of like you're in a secret relationship. And she's like, well, I mean, I guess I don't know. And knowing what John's like, I'm not surprised that he had her fooled too. So when he left and she found it, because then finally it had come out to her that like, yeah, I moved all my shit. Like I gave up my apartment. Like I'm not coming back, but like, we can still be together, like, I guess. And she was like, that's like fucked up. Like, and according to her, he had always said to her, he was always planning to go to Spain. And she had said to him, just give me like a month's notice, like, so I can like prepare myself to like, that you're leaving kind of thing, you know? And so she was pissed that he had left without anything. And the friend was like, well, maybe like, he wasn't split up from his girlfriend, and maybe the girlfriend figured it out, and that's why he just left the country. Like he had to get away. And so that's why she convinced Samantha to let her reach out to me. And so we discovered that. And she was like, so you guys never broke up. She was under the influence that like, under the whatever, that you, he had moved out and you guys had broken up. And I was like, well, yeah, he did move out. And then you feel like I feel like an asshole now, because you're like, wow, like how stupid could I have been? But like, he literally was just claiming that he was going through such a rough time, and that he just, you know, and I saw him, so many tears. Like when I tell you the amount of breakdown and the tears that I saw, like it, I believed it. And so,
and please don't feel like an asshole or an idiot. These people are good. They are good.
Oh my God. It's insane. But like, we talked for like, I don't know, 30 minutes, and he was calling me crazy. Saying that like, yeah, I guess apparently after I'd FaceTimed with John to ask him who this Samantha was, he had called her immediately after from a weird number and was like, we've been busted. And she's like, what do you mean you've been busted? And she's like, you know, Vanessa saw the phone bill and like how often we'd been like talking, and like, she knows. And she's like, what do you mean she knows? Why are you still on your ex-girlfriend's phone plan? And she said he started getting like super like sketchy, and like the story wasn't making sense, and he was all over the place. And then the next day she had got the voicemail from Talia, and she, you know how like iPhone transcribes the voicemail. So I guess she had like screenshot it and sent it to John, and John was like, she's crazy. Like just ignore them. They're like insane. And so for a while she did, she was like, and then I think once she realized he had moved and wasn't going back, then she was like, okay, something's up. And so then I guess like she had a wedding that she was supposed to go to. I don't know if I had agreed to go with her, but like there was a wedding that she was supposed to go to in Palm Springs, and she wanted him to go, but he had already left the country. So I had already been, he also has these, well, he had these PMJ accounts, and there was like, and you can go on the website, it's like PMJ-collective.com. And there's these, it's insane. It's like these, he's claiming to be a restaurant, like professional, like let me help you start your restaurant, a finance person where it's like, let me tell you what to do with your finances. There's like 8 different things on this website of him claiming to do an acquisitions page, like a PMJ clothing, and like none of these things exist. And so,
right. What's the website? PMJ-collective.com. And is that like a website that, did he create that website, or is that
Yeah. And you, and there's like, there's content, like there's bits. So when we were together, he had always said that he wanted to write an ebook on how to start a restaurant from beginning to end. And he, according to him, he's had a lot of experience. He ran a bar in France. That I know is true, because I've met people that knew him there, which we'll get to in a second. But he ran a bunch of bars in New York. He opened a bar in London. So he had a lot of experience. And so I thought it was a great idea. He's like, you know, I'm going to create an ebook where it like tells you how to like get your financing and, you know, all the different, like everything you could possibly need. And it'll be this ebook for whatever, $14.99, and people can buy it. And I was like, yeah, it's a great idea. But he had been talking about it forever, and like nothing really ever came to fruition. But he had like these weird websites. And so with this website, he had these Instagram pages with each of them, with like PMJ Finance, PMJ, I forget what they all are, but there was like 10 of them. And on the Instagram pages, he just posts like random pictures of like my office, and they weren't his office, or like shows I'm watching, and it was like whatever, like a Bad Sisters, he'd have like a picture of her, like he'd have a picture of the guy that won, the Irish actor that won, the guy that's in Peaky Blinders, I forget his name, he had like a picture of him after he won the Grammy, and it's, or after he won the Oscar, and it's just him and his other pages liking these, all these pages. It's the weirdest fucking thing.
Really weird.
But so I wasn't blocked on them. And so I had wrote him this letter that night that I discovered the girlfriend. And I was like, it was good. And I posted it on his PMJ page, and then got all my friends to go on and comment and like basically call him trash. And yeah, it was great. And so then he, I think he just deleted it. He saw the pages for a little longer. In the meantime, I was pissed because even though I had canceled his number, I could still text him and he could still receive them, because apparently, according to Apple, if your phone number is attached to your iCloud account, even if the number is no longer in service, you'll still get the message. I don't know why. I don't know how. And the only way to stop that is to go to this website from Apple and like basically disconnect it from your Apple ID. And the girl on the phone was like, the only way to do that is to send a text to the phone and then you like disconnect it. And I was like, well, I don't have the phone. And so then I called T-Mobile, and T-Mobile was like, the girl was great. I was like, girl, my boyfriend did me wrong. And she's like, well, what we're going to do is I'm going to send you a SIM card of his number. You're going to pop that in your phone and you're going to disconnect the number. And then, you know, no harm, no foul. He's not going to have his number anymore. And, you know, go on your merry way.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Where, and I said this from the beginning, ever since they got back together the second time, where does the money go? They make around the same amount of money. How is he borrowing money? How is she paying for things? Where did that money go? If it's not to drugs, I believe, my theory is that he may have a child or wife somewhere in another country that he's also giving money to. Yeah, it's very shady. And I'm going to be straight up, and I've told Vanessa this before, I never trusted him, and I did not like the look behind that man's eyes. There was something creepy behind his eyes. It happened several times where I would see it, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is scary. This guy's not normal.
Do you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
This morning I called my mom, and my mom had met him once, I think, or at least seen a photo of him. I know my sister had met him. And Bella had met him, but my mom said, any photo of him, it looks like he's a man that just killed a cat. I was like, well, that's a really good.
That's a perfect example. It's like the soulless murderer look in his eyes, and he had it. And he always had a very nervous energy about him to a point that I was uncomfortable being around it.
Well, that John Murphy was lucky to...
I never met him. I never met him.
I've never met him.
Yeah. I've never met him, but every time I saw a picture of him, he looked like he just killed a cat or something. He had the most guilty look on his face.
And so then I get this SIM card and I'm like, fuck, I have a lot of power here. Because once I have his number, like I get, you know, that's insane.
Yeah.
And so one of the girls at work was like, you know, you could like probably get into like his Instagram and shit because like it's that you reset your password, it goes to your phone number. And I was like, oh, fuck. At this point, I don't really know where he is. I think he's in Spain. I'm not sure. And I'm, of course, like wanting to know where it is. And I was like toying with the idea of doing it for like a while. It took about, I'd say about 2 weeks. And the girls at work were like, look, we're going to come over. We're going to do it. The thing was, I wasn't going to be in charge of the phone. Like, cause in case there's something I really didn't want to see, or, you know, it was kind of like going to be like a, your need to know information basis. And so We get into his Instagram and girl, he was like chatting to like, I mean, I don't know, because he had realized that we were getting into his Instagram and it became this like, I got logged out, then he got logged out, then I got logged out. And it was like a back and forth game. And he had like ended up deleting all his chats, but like at least four or five of them that we had, he was like, one girl on February 18th, he was still texting me. He loved me and he missed me. He was obviously still texting Samantha because they were still in a thing. And he was texting this other girl in New York. I'm just here daydreaming about you. Come to Spain. Like, and he said that to another girl in New York, he said, like, come, he was sending both, like, two or three different girls the same pictures and the same, like, come to Spain, let me make you coffee. And so the drug, obviously there was a lot of alcohol involved, and the more alcohol that got involved, the crazier we kind of got. And we basically reached out to, like, all the girls from his Instagram. And I didn't do it. One of my friends did it for me, but basically was like, I'm Vanessa. I dated John for 2.5 years. He recently just like ghosted me, like leaving me in this traumatic state. And I've realized he might have relationships with other people. If you have any information, like please reach out to me at my Instagram page. And like three girls wrote back to me. One girl wrote back. The one girl that he was saying, like, I'm just daydreaming of you in Spain. She wrote back and said, look, I've known him for 10 years. I guess I always felt sorry for him because of his sobriety and the trauma he says he endured. But like, I learned very quickly he wasn't for me like 10 years ago, but he's always still reached out and tried to like, you know, persuade me kind of thing. She was, but I've always thought he was like, kind of had a catch me if you can kind of vibe. And the text that were like really hurtful, like she had said, because he had left all the pictures of me on his personal Instagram, because he never posts on Instagram, but on his sobriety birthday, he would post 12 pictures, one for each month of the year he was sober. And I was in like 11 of the 12 photos for the 2 years that we were together. And so she had said, who are you in Spain? Or are you in Spain with anyone? He wrote back, fuck no. And she wrote back, it just seems like, and this is when, by the way,
wow, what an aggressive response back.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's a weird red flag, like, Jesus.
Right. And she said, it just seems by your Instagram that you guys are still together. And he wrote back. And at this point, according to me, we were still kind of together. Like, he was like, you know, and he was like, no, it doesn't. I just put a picture up for my sobriety. Next one, there's going to be none of her. Like, I was some, like, awful human, like, it was insane. So she was like, she was really sweet to her text back. She was like, you know, I've dealt with, like men like him before, and like I'm blocking him, and I know like you're better off. And the two other girls were like, nothing ever happened with me, but he's definitely tried. He's been flirting. He's very like big on Instagram. Like even all my friends that he's friends with, like he'll comment on all their stories. He's very like, which is weird. My friends are like, we always thought it was weird that he would like comment on everything. It's like, and he'd always be the first one to comment. It's like he just lived on Instagram all the time. And so then that happened. So then the drunker we got, we posted on his page and we were like, hey guys, it's John here. recently, recently a 9-month affair had come to light after, I didn't write it, this girl, one of my friends did, who's fucking hilarious, but she wrote like, let me see if I can find it because I'll read it verbatim to you. Hold on. So she wrote, "Hi guys, it's John here. I feel like I should fill you all in. Recently, a 9-month affair that I've been having has come to light while I was in a 2.5-year relationship with my girlfriend. I told everyone I was heading back to Ireland to help my family, but I totally made that up because I'm a gross person. Instead of caring for my loved ones, I went to New York to fuck around a little bit while I pretended to be overseas. And then I decided to run from my problems and go to Spain to start over like a little bitch. And now I'm trying to keep my side of the street clean because the AA program prides itself on of rigorous honesty." Because that's what he used to always say to me. Like, "I'm just trying to keep my side of the street clean, blah, 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 AA shit." And then we posted a picture because I'm one of the girls, which he had said to me too. He wrote to one of the girls, "Come sit on my knee." So we put a picture of him and put the "come sit on my knee" thing like on top of it and posted it to his Instagram.
Oh my God, that's hilarious, but also really gross. That is a really creepy thing to say.
Right? I know. And when I put it in my search attacks, he definitely had said it to me like in the beginning of like when we were first like long distancing. So it's his thing. So then the next day or whatever after, he deleted all his Instagrams. Like he deleted everybody. He went through his Facebook page and literally deleted every single person that was friends with me off his Facebook and made it so you can't even add him as a friend. You can only message him. Like if he doesn't add you, you can't add him. And he deleted all his Instagram, and now he has a new PMJ Instagram. That's so weird. It's like all motivational quotes. And again, it's just him and his other page liking the pages that he has. It's bizarre.
And it was probably because he's a crook and con man and scam artist, but when he would talk, he would shout. And it's like, why are you yelling, sir? Like, calm down. And if he wasn't yelling, he had this like weird look on his face, or he didn't make contact with you at all. Like, he had very, very strange behavior, I thought, from the very beginning. Like,
I don't know why Vanessa didn't notice it, because she's too vulnerable.
Vulnerable and in love. I think she truly, like, whether or not he conned her from the beginning, like, she fell in love, and she fell in love hard. She thought he was, like, the person, her only one. Like, she truly believed that. And when you're in love, you're blinded, right? You don't see the red flags waving right in front of your face. He had like just a little bit of a creepy vibe, and then the love bombing, and then it was too much. It was too much, and they were inseparable to a point that I actually said to her, "It's actually a little unhealthy how much time you guys spend with each other," which I still don't know how he had this whole secret affair and relationship with this other woman. I don't know how he found the time, because they were inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
But as he started, like when he changed, like when the change happened, it was a snap of the fingers. It was overnight. Like one day they were in love, and the next day he checked the fuck out. And I started feeling like, how is Vanessa not seeing these lies? The relationship with the therapist was extremely odd. They talk and texted way too much for a patient-doctor relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be very private about certain parts of the therapy. And then it seemed like he was just going a little too much. And then the crying all the time. And then these weird long walks where he go walk, you know, 80,000 steps, and his thighs were chafing because he's thinking about what he's doing. No, he was probably banging that other chick.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. we do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like, it was getting weirder and weirder and weirder, and then it just got to a point there was, like, how much weirder could it get? And then he left, you know, and then lied about where he went to.
And, yeah, I mean, that's kind of us up to speed. I haven't heard a thing from him. I don't know where he is. I don't know anything. I think he might be in New York because I was still friends with the friend that came to visit for his sober birthday. I was still friends with him on Instagram and on Facebook, and he posts a lot, and he had posted he lives in London, but he had posted that he was in New York. And this was like last week. And I remember thinking, oh my God, if he's in New York, he's going to post that he's with John. And so the next day I went to go check his Instagram, and he had just recently deleted me off his Instagram. So I think maybe if he was in New York, John was like, yeah, delete Vanessa off your Instagram. So he's out there.
When was the last time you actually spoke to him?
The FaceTime of me asking him who Samantha was.
Number one, how are you doing after all of this? Because this is pretty traumatizing.
Yeah, I mean, you've known me. I've been a very happy-go-lucky person. And that's another funny thing. John would always say to me, like, God, your head's on so straight. You never, like, you're never sad. And it's true. I'm, like, I was living a perfectly perfect little life with I always say my brain's, like, sunshine and butterflies. Like, I don't ever have any, like, and ever since then, I'm, like, fuck. I was losing my hair. I lost, like, 20 pounds. I was in therapy, I'm on antidepressants, I'm, like, it's been a fucking road, and the thing that sucks most about it, too, is, like, I'm in this apartment that I'd be stupid to give up, because it's rent-controlled, and it's gorgeous, but it's, like, all the things remind me of him. Our drive to work, because we went to work together, like, everything reminds me of him. Work, I'm at work, I'm reminded of him. It's, like, it's hard to, like, not think about him all the time. But I'm trying. It's, you know, I just think time, obviously. I'm giving myself the 1 year mark to, like, let myself even, you know, still grieve it, because it's been, my poor friends are sick of hearing about it, and I'm sick of thinking about it.
Well, you're not allowed to grieve something as long as you want to grieve it, or as long as it's,
know.
You know, and I think what you went through is extremely, extremely traumatic. I mean,
well, the crazy part. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it takes time to get over that stuff, and it takes time to probably trust people again, I would imagine. And, you know,
it makes
your brain kind of go crazy, where it's just like, shit. Like, even hearing your story, and, like, obviously, I believe that, you know, Greg's a good man or whatever, but, like, even just hearing a story like that, well, it also brings me back to my own trauma of, like, people I dated, like, you know, the lies and stuff that, like, Jack, so, I mean, I've been cheated on a million times, you know, and, John Lee, just an absolute, total, like, I don't think you ever met him. Taya, yes, you
I
did.
I met John.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. We came into your
yes.
bar. Taya got so upset. I
remember. There was drama that
actually,
day.
Actually, like, Taya just started, like, sobbing and stuff and, like, yelling at him, like, because he's so weird and cold and, like, yeah. I mean,
he's
not
going to
choose him.
That's the thing, too. Like, so many of my friends know, like, everybody, every single person is, like, John Murphy did that to you? Like, what? Like, they're, like, shocked that he could be, like, that, because he's so charming and he's so, like, and that's like, too, he was very, like, he was always very empathetic towards other people. Like, I would be bitching about, like, you know, the guys in the kitchen or whatever, or, like, and he would always be, like, he was the empathetic one. He would be like, you know, these guys work 3 jobs and blah, 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 and just give them some slack. And he was always really sweet with all, like, the guys in the kitchen. And I don't know, he would, like, give people his last dollar. He just seemed like a really good guy. I it's so shocking to me that, like, he was capable of being, like, he would probably be with that girl all day and then come over and let me cook him dinner and just, like, I just don't know how someone could be. So, I mean, I've learned that I think, he's probably a huge narcissist and a sociopath from the research I've done. But I've tried to get, like, I've met with this narcissist you know, professional, whatever. I had a therapy session with her, but it's like he was never, the narcissist part that I've learned is like that they start off being charming and sweet and then they get awful. And like they put you down and they're like, they could be abusive. And he was never like that. He was just, you know, he had like the, he has a lot of other narcissistic qualities, but like the real toxicity, he was never, he was never awful to me. He was never abusive towards me. So I don't know. It's so the therapist that I was talking to, she was like, you have a really like, you know, random situation. One, because he's gone. You have no idea where he is. Like most narcissistic people come back into your life. They try to get back in when they call it supply. So they like, they meet you. And that's another thing. So when he met me, I'm obviously a big Buffalo Bills fan. And he became the biggest Buffalo Bills fan, like bigger than me. He was like Bills Mafia till I die. He would like read all the articles on the Bills every morning. Like he was obsessed with the Buffalo Bills.
First of all, I didn't know you were a big Buffalo Bills fan. I've become a big fan of that quarterback. It's unbelievable.
Right? Josh Allen. Yeah, baby. He's MVP.
He's unbelievably good.
So good. But so he became his big Bills fan, and his new Instagram page, apparently he follows the Colts now. And so I had read, like, a narcissistic trait is when they find a new supply, they, like, become obsessed with everything you're obsessed with. So that's why he did Pilates with me, and that's why he was obsessed with the Bills. And, like, he'd be texting my brother. Like, he was really trying to get in with my family and just,
well,
yeah,
that's also love bombing, too.
Which is
narcissists do love bombing because they're more interested, I think, this is my belief, I'm not a therapist, but in knowing that they have your attention, like knowing that they've won you over, it's like, it's kind of all a weird game for them. Like,
yeah, that's exactly, it's just the supply. They want a new supply. And then when once they get bored with you, they needed someone else. So that's what like the, you know, the FaceTiming and the, you know, the big long, the text. Remember I told you he would send me texts every day. Like, I love you. And thank you for this. And thank you for that. Towards the end, they were like, thanks for the toast you made me this morning. They were got like real boring, and but he still send them, but they were like not like they were in the beginning. It was almost like he was just bored with the relationship. But I mean, I asked him every, and that's another thing too, like in January when I was like, I was like, look, do I need to start looking for a roommate? Like, do you plan on coming back? Like, do you want us to be together? And he's like, yes, I want to be together. Of course I want to be together. He's like, but I don't know if like LA is for us. And he said to me, maybe we go to Spain or maybe we go to Italy. Maybe we do something different. Like I'm just trying to get myself better first so then I can be a better boyfriend to you. And that was like the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of me believes that he really was trying to get better. Like he really was going to therapy because I have on the phone bill, there was like phone calls to the therapist that he said was his therapist. So that was all. Although I will say he was sending her like picture messages, which is weird for you to be sending a therapist. Apparently, I don't know like if that how appropriate that is. And God knows he could have charmed her, and he could have been sleeping with her too. But so
I think that is very strange. I believe too, if I can remember this story correctly. Well, Jax obviously is a narcissist. I think he's actually been diagnosed with it. Narcissism. If I remember correctly, this isn't my scenario, but I can't remember who it wasn't. Brittany, who he's married, or they're divorced now, or getting divorced. I think it was Stassi, and they were going to therapy. I believe, if I'm getting the story correctly, I'll cut this out. That the therapist that Bravo assigned to them, he ended up sleeping with. I believe that therapist like was drunk once at a bar, ran into Kristen and told Kristen that, but I could be wrong.
It happened. I've Googled it because I thought in the very beginning, like before I knew there was a relationship with somebody else, I thought like he's like really close to this therapist. And I had, when my mom, because my mom was just my poor mother, God, she flew back and forth so many times to try and like take care of me and pick up pieces. But one, five months ago, I was just like, I don't know what to do. And I had said, like, I almost wish I could, like, talk to his therapist and see, like if there was a way that she, and I know, and in my thinking about it now, it was stupid, but I was thinking, like, if she didn't talk to me about John, but let me talk about John, knowing what she knows about John, like, maybe she'd be able to help me because she knows exactly, like, what he is. And so my mom had reached out and was like, hey, I'm the daughter of the girl who John lived a double life with. Like, you know, is there any chance I'm assuming now, I'm a nurse, I'm aware of HIPAA laws. Anymore, he's no longer patient, and maybe you could help Vanessa. And she just wrote back like, I can't comment on any of this, here's a number of somebody else. Like, she didn't even like go into any of it. So
I don't know. Well, okay, my other thoughts, and I'm sorry he put you through that, but I know you'll be okay. You are a very happy person, and you know,
thank you. The sick part is that like I still have this weird like love, not love for, I do. I mean, like, I really believe that that was like the love of my life. So I'm still like, it's just fucking weird. Like, it's such a weird thing to know someone could do such a fucked up thing, and you're like, oh, but like when he loved me, he like really loved me. And you could see how like, and I'm like a pretty mentally strong person. You could see how people get like sucked back in. Like, I don't know that if he turned up and was, I mean, I obviously could not, my whole, everyone in my life would like disown me, but I mean, if he turned up and like cried and like, you know, a little part of me would want it to work, would want it to like, you know, I don't, it's just, well, it's such a weird thing to admit, but you do, like, you just,
crazy,
you really
no,
do.
But I can see that. Okay, so what's crazy, so I think when we talked on the phone the other day, I told you I was friends with Tara Newell from Dirty John, you know, that
yes,
story.
Yes, yes, yep.
Okay, so the power of like these narcissists, like these con artists, narcissists, whatever you want to call them, is that man literally, you know, so Tara's mom, obviously, you know, she dated him. That man literally stabbed her daughter. She then had to fight back and kill a man.
Yes, so, I remember.
But there was a lot leading up to that, obviously, and there was a lot of major red flags. You know, I think she finds out, you know, he's on drugs and all this, blah, 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 blah. There's so many red flags.
I was going to say, too, John got my initials tattooed on his wrist before he even moved to L.A. Like, so the week before he moved back to L.A., in huge letters, he got VP tattooed on his wrist.
Dude, that's classic love bombing. Classic love bombing.
Like, insane, though, right? Like, if you don't think you're going to, like, if you're going to do what you're always going to do, like, why would you get a tattoo?
Oh, because he's got a life for it.